It's time to get your sports weekend rolling. This is the WILS Weekend Kickoff with Dave Benton.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS, streaming live online at 1320WILS.com. Dave Benton here alongside Scott Eckersley, my co-host and producer. Joined now by Joe Rexroad of the Lansing State Journal. Covers pretty much everything you need to know about Michigan State. Joe, how you doing?
Good, Dave. Good to be with you guys.
Well, thanks for joining us. I want to start with the attitude of this Michigan State basketball team. We've been talking about it a lot today. And you're around this team probably more than anybody. And the body language that I get from watching Tom Izzo and hearing the interviews with Draymond Green and stuff is these guys sound defeated. Do you get that feeling too?
I think for the first time I did get that feeling Thursday night, yeah. I mean, they've had plenty of setbacks this year, plenty of tough moments, but I always, you know, kind of got that sense, especially from Draymond Green, that, you know they were going to fight through it. And, he basically admitted he was defeated the other night. Now, does that mean he's thrown in the towel? No, I'm not saying that, but I think they're definitely, right around that rock bottom kind of feeling, you know. And for their sake, they better hope it is rock bottom.
Hey, Joe, it's Scott here. And you couldn't be more right talking to Draymond after the game. He just looked awful. And I asked him, what's next to kind of turn it around? And he didn't really have an answer. What would be your answer to that? How do they turn it around from here?
Yeah, well, exactly. He really, and usually he does. You know, Draymond usually says, you know, we have to do this and this and this. And he was, I mean, the quote that struck me was, I'm just kind of lost right now, he said at one point, you know. And I mean, hey, they were, that's, you know, the combination of 2 days after Corey Lucius booted from the team and then losing at home to Michigan. I can't imagine a much worse week for this program. What do they need to do? I mean, you know, obviously they need to figure out, I think they need to figure out a rotation, and I understand matchups kind of dictate that at times, but, you know, Izzo's still kind of tinkering with different things, and it seems like they would really benefit from knowing their roles, knowing when they're going to go in, things like that. I mean, usually that's put together by now for a basketball team. I know there's a lot of extenuating circumstances. Tom Izzo did talk after the game about, doing an Ohio State-like rotation, which I thought was interesting. Of course, Ohio State's known for, Thad Mata is known for, you know, riding his guys 38 to 40 minutes. I mean, Jared Sullinger, his freshman big man, is playing 40-minute games here. And he just goes with his main guys, and they have great chemistry. And it may cost you in legs later at some point. Some people have said that's cost Ohio State in the tournament maybe. But I think for Michigan State right now, it's desperation time, and it's time to do whatever you can do to get into this NCAA tournament. And so I think maybe shortening that bench would help Michigan State.
Well, and Joe, I've seen it. I've seen it work before. You know, I used to pay attention a lot to St. John's basketball, and back in the late 90s, early 2000s, they had six-man rotations for a couple of years, and it worked for them. So I think it can work. However, the question is, and I ask you this, can guys like Kalen Lucas go for that full 40 minutes every single night for the rest of this year?
That's a good question. You know, one thing I think that's going to happen in tandem with this is Michigan State's really going to de-emphasize running, and that's one thing Delvon Rowe and Darrell Summers mentioned it too, that they even talked before the Michigan game about walking it up more just because they're so thin on the perimeter now. So I think in some ways this team could start to look a little bit like the 06-07 team. I mean, that's the only team that I've covered of Tom Izzo's that flat out did not run. I mean, didn't want to run, knew it really couldn't run. I mean, if you remember that team, I mean, at one point that team had Isaiah Dahlman starting and playing 35 minutes because,
yeah,
you know, got her banged up with Raymond Moore. I mean, they were very thin. That team played great half-court defense, great half-court offense, and got in. I think this team now needs, they just need better chemistry on the court, and I think they're looking at half court basketball now. But still, even with that, I mean, it's a valid question. Can Kalen Lucas, play those kind of minutes? I mean, I think he is getting stronger. I thought he looked obviously good the other night, and he's getting by guys more often. But well, that's really taxing on someone like that, and Delvon Rowe too. I mean, you know, they try to rest his knees whenever they can. And, a season like this can take a toll on that.
Joe Rexroad, Lansing State Journal, joining us here on the Weekend Kickoff. Joe, I'm kind of curious, with the Michigan-Michigan State game, did not having Corey Lucius affect them more emotionally or from a strategic standpoint?
Yeah, that's. I think it was more just his missing body there was bigger, because I thought they came out with great emotion in that game and energy. You know, I mean, I think really what hurt them was some mix-ups on defense. You know, I mean, two guys going with Novak and letting John Horford slip to the basket, or you know, messing up a ball screen and letting shooters get wide open. I mean, I thought that they were locked in emotionally, which is, you know, kind of a you think about that, and you just look at this team, you're like, you know, I mean, they've really got some issues that go beyond any of the you know, the emotional stuff. I mean, they've just got some shortcomings that we've discovered, you know. And I think that, you know, maybe long-term it's going to maybe affect them more emotionally. But I thought that they came out and you know, had the fire that you needed. And they had that 16-11 lead, and then they just made a lot of mistakes. And, you know, Michigan played a great game too. So, and I think just late in the game, not having that extra ball handler, not having that extra guy to defend. And let's face it, Corey Lucius, as much as he struggled here, he also is a guy who allowed them to go to overtime against Wisconsin with that three-point bomb. I mean, he does have a knack for making shots like that. So I think that was the bigger issue.
Well, one thing that we've talked about is kind of the future with the point guards here and what's going to happen. And really, the solution I came up with, it's not the best for him personally, but would be to slide Keith Appling more and more towards a point guard.
Exactly. I think you're going to see him playing it more this year. I mean, out of necessity, because, you know, he and Mike Keebler are the backup point guards now, but also to prepare him for next year. I mean, next year now it's Keith Appling and it's Travis Rice. I mean, this is assuming Corey Lucius is gone. I think everyone does assume that, even though Michigan State won't come out and say that. So you're probably looking at Keith Appling starting at the point guard spot right now. And, you know, it's not like Keith Appling's that different from Kalen Lucas. I mean, they're both kind of scorers. First, they're lead guards who score. I guess Appling's maybe a little more of a wing, but I've never thought of Kalen as a pure point guard either. So I think Keith can learn that, but he's not as prepared to play that position right now, obviously, as Lucas was as a freshman. So I think that's another big thing that's going to go on the rest of this year, is getting Keith as ready as possible. And they came right out the other night, and he actually was at the one, and Lucas was at the two. So I think you're going to still see some of that. I think they're going to still try to get Lucas off the ball. I thought at first this meant Lucas is going to just be running the one purely for the rest of the way, but I think they're still going to try to do some things where they get him off the ball and get him some shots.
Well, that was what was always tough. I thought they were at their best when both Lucius and Lucas were in. We're talking with Joe Rexroth from the Lansing State Journal. Now, Joe, you're talking about next year. We don't know for sure what's going to happen with Corey Lucius, but you've actually had a chance to talk with him, and what's your insight towards it?
Yeah, and I talked to him real briefly, and he was in class. I mean, I kind of thought, I mean, I didn't know. I mean, he picked up his phone and was kind of whispering, and I'm like, you okay? He's like, yeah, I'm in class. I'm like, oh, well, first of all, good for you for being in class. And
are we sure that wasn't the problem, that he's taking calls from you in class? And that's where this issue all stems from, Joe.
Exactly. I'll take the blame for this one. Hey, I'm going to assume that class was, you know, maybe just getting over, or maybe it was just about to start. We'll just go with that. But we didn't talk for long, but he just said he isn't sure what he's going to do. The thing is, you know, and his mom said the same thing to me, and I called her later in the day. But, of course, does it matter is the question. I mean, you know, he has to have an invitation to come back from Michigan State. And, again, I mean, Michigan State and Tom Izzo kind of danced around the question the other night, wouldn't answer it. And that's fine, but I don't get the sense that Corey Lucius is going to be playing again for Michigan State.
Joe, we talked about this a little earlier in the show, and I know you're not a psychiatrist, so maybe you don't know mentally, but as you look at the way Lucius got in trouble earlier in the year with the alcohol incident while driving, do you think whatever happened this time to get him kicked off the team could have been avoided if there was a more severe punishment then?
You know, I hadn't thought of that. I suppose, you know, I'm sure it's, you know, I know with Allen and Lucius, I know people are, a lot of people out there are like, well, what the heck did he do? And you know, honestly, I think if we were able to come out and say some of the things that went on, people would be like, well, these are college kids. But
right,
the problem is, it's, you know, I mean, these are public figures too, and there is a certain level of accountability that has to be maintained in Tom Izzo's program. And so, I mean, that's a good question. That's fair. I do know that just like with Chris Allen, it's an accumulation of things. Would there have been a way for the coaching staff to deter this? Possibly. And maybe they're saying that same thing right now, saying, oh, we should have been tougher then. But, you know, from what I understand of this situation, at some point either you just have to follow through and call the bluff, or everyone in that program knows that you don't control it anymore. And I think that's where Tom Izzo, I think that's the point he got to here. So it's too bad. You know, I mean, it's too bad for Michigan State. It's too bad for Corey Lucius, because as a lot of people have been saying the last few days, I mean, he's a nice kid. He's a smart kid. You know, it's not like he's you know, this awful, you know, cancer, as Tom Izzo said the other night. It's not like he's a cancer in the locker room. It's just that you just, if there's certain things that are put down for you that you can't do and you do them, I mean, you know, at some point you got to pull the trigger on that.
Talking with Joe Rexroad from the Lansing State Journal here on the Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS. Joe, I want to get back to something we do know exactly where we're at. Michigan State, 12-8 overall, 4-4. What's the prospect of getting into the NCAA tournament even look like right now?
Yeah, well, to me, 19-11, which means 11-7 in the Big Ten, is, I'd put that at 100%, or I'd put it at 99%. I mean, I think that's, with this team's strength of schedule, which is not, you know, it's not going to dip too much. I mean, they still have games at Ohio State, at Wisconsin, at Minnesota. They still have Purdue and Illinois coming in. They've got, you know, some other games that'll knock it down a little bit. But I think that would be a sure thing. I think, and that would mean a 7-3 finish. And if you look at that schedule, that would be a pretty impressive turnaround for this team. You know, I mean, at this point, I can't project this team to go 7-10 here. 18-12 going into the Big Ten tournament, you know, they'd probably need to do a little bit of work. I still think they'd have a pretty good chance there, and that would mean 6-4 finish. And anything short of that, then I think they really would be maybe on the bad side of the bubble and really needing, you know, really needing to do some major work in that Big Ten tournament. And it also means that they would probably be playing in the first day of the tournament, you know, on the bottom half of the Big Ten, and then they'd have to be a lower team, and then play one of the top three teams, you know, on the Friday. So it's critical to me that they at least try to get 6. And if you look at the schedule, it's 5 home, 5 away. You know, the big thing to me is Purdue and Illinois at Breslin Center. You know, can they beat those teams at home? With this team as is, I think they can. They play a lot better than they're playing, but I think it's possible. If they do that, and then also this coming up game, well, hey, tomorrow night's critical. Could they lose at home to Indiana? Sure. Why couldn't they? Indiana just beat Illinois. But the big one I look at is at Iowa on Wednesday. You know, that's a huge, huge game because it's a team they can beat. It's a road game. But that's a team that can beat them, too. If you watched Iowa all this year, you know, they got some young guys in.
They're feisty. There's no doubt about it. There's not many teams in the Big Ten that aren't feisty at this point, as Michigan State has proven.
Exactly. I mean, there really are no gimmies. And the coaches say that every year, but I actually believe them this year. You know, because, I mean, Indiana, hey, Jordan Halls is Mr., you know, Jimmy Chitwood out there bombing threes. And, you know, Christian Wofford's a good forward. I mean, you know, hey, that team could come in here as vulnerable as Michigan State is now. And really make people start talking NIT tomorrow night.
Now, Joe, we've been a little bit more negative here. We have them kind of finishing out 17-13. If you're okay saying 18, then which game of the at Ohio State, at Wisconsin, at Minnesota, home Purdue, home Illinois, which one do you see them being able to win?
Right. The way I look at it is they have to, of course, beat Indiana, you know, Penn State at home, by the way, not easy, you know, but
Michigan on the road, for that matter.
Right, so they have to, you know, to me, beat Penn State, Indiana at home, win at Iowa, and beat Iowa at home. There's 4. That gets them to 16. You know, Purdue and Illinois, I mean, those are, I mean, I think they could win both of those. I really do. I think both those teams are vulnerable. I mean, you've seen Purdue. You know, even when Purdue played Michigan State at home last week, I mean, that was an unbelievable atmosphere. That team has 2 really good players and a big drop-off, you know. And you saw them the other night. I mean, Ohio State just handled them. I think Michigan State could win those games. And, frankly, I think Michigan State has a shot in Minneapolis now with Al Nolan out. and certainly I think has a shot in Ann Arbor. I mean, the revenge is going to be a big thing, and Michigan played great the other night, but that's not a game this team couldn't win. So, but to me, it's a Purdue and Illinois at home are still better bets just because this team, you know, right now is not playing well on the road, and it's just tougher for this team in environments like that. But I'm guessing 18 just because I'm looking at those two home games of Purdue and Illinois and thinking they'll find a way. But again, at this point, we have to see if they can even, you know, get a win at all tomorrow and then build from there.
Joe, one final question, one word answer from you. Does Michigan State make the NCAA tournament this year?
I can't say maybe. No, I'll say yes.
Okay.
Say yes.
Fair enough. Joe, we really appreciate it. Joe Rexroad, Lansing State Journal. Have a good one, man. Try and enjoy the day off.
Okay. Dave Scott, good talking to you guys. Thanks.
All right. Joe Rexroad, Lansing State Journal. Coming up, final segment, we'll talk about some of the other Big Ten basketball games that are coming up today and tomorrow. We'll also maybe talk a little Australian Open. Who's going to win, Djokovic or Murray? It's Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.